about your mom, you may have like sent her a card. You're like, I didn't even know it was Mother's Day. Or maybe you made her breakfast in bed. Maybe you sent her flowers. Maybe you did something, or maybe you didn't do anything yet because you're coming up with a master plan that you're going to exercise this afternoon. But as look at who God made mothers to be. God made human beings and designed them to have mothers. That sounds kind of ridiculous, right? But as we think about moms, God designed the world to have mothers. And we're going to look at that for a few minutes this morning. Adam named his wife Eve. And the Eve had the meaning and understanding that mother of all creation, that out of Eve was going to flow life, human life for all creation. To be female is to partner with a male and conceive life, to give birth to a child, uniquely female. Guys don't give birth. Guys don't get pregnant. Women get pregnant. God designed it that way for women to be moms. God could have made human beings asexual. You know, that it's like just one person could have, create another being. But God didn't design it that way. He didn't design it. He made them male and female. He made them moms and dads. He was purposeful in his creation. God also, when he made men and women, his person is reflected both in male and female. So to understand who God is, we have to look at both beings, both genders. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And he created them, what? Male and female. He says, this is my image. You want to get my image? You need to look at both male and female. You know, you think about in his image, we got communication, ability for language. We have artistic ability. We have creativity. We have the ability to plan and think through rational and problem solved. We have morality. We know what's good. And yet we know sometimes we don't choose it. But God designed us in his image to do good things. Those are things that he planned. Those are things that he engendered both in male and female. But God's personhood, his character, is uniquely reflected in women. Mothers uniquely reflect God. Let's just look at a few passages. Hosea 11, 3 and 4 talks about God described as a mother who loves their children even though they don't realize it. You know, a kid, you're just like, you poured it out. You redid your schedule. Everything you do that you wanted to get done that day didn't get done because little Johnny or Susie needed to be taken care of. They don't even realize it. God likens himself as a mother who loves his children even though they don't realize it. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it. It was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness and ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Uniquely reflected in God. Hosea 13:8, God describes as a mother bear ferociously protects her cubs. In Hosea 13:8, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them apart. I've seen some of your moms. You know, when you see your little kid get made fun of, or when somebody doesn't treat it right, I just see your eyes get big, and we know the focused look that mom has to care about their kids. Like a bear cares for her cubs. Deuteronomy 32:11, God described as a mother eagle who both pushes them out of the nest and yet protects them. Deuteronomy 32:11 says it like this, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them to flight. It's such a balance, isn't it? You want to protect your kid, but at the same time, you need to push them out of the nest so that they grow and become healthy. so that they once will become somebody who cares for their young, for their ones. Deuteronomy 32:18, God who gives birth, the one who gave life to you, you deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. It's so fascinating. God's character, he talks about the joy and the struggle of giving birth. You know, that everything you have, all-encompassing, that you, obviously, I haven't given birth. I just hear the stories, right? And I see the results. But I know from talking to you moms, from participating in the birth of our own children, that it takes everything you have to birth this kid. And I think about God likens himself. He's all in to giving life to us, to establishing children who love him and honor him. Isaiah 66:13, God as a comforting mom, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Listening, compassionate, appropriate, finding justice. You know, I just remember as our kids, as they would come, and when they would get hurt, they would come to their mom because that was the one who they were going to have a tender touch from. That was the one who's going to listen to their struggles. That was the one who was going to understand. That was the one who was going to assure them of justice. I remember one of the crazy times with my kids, my boys. I don't know if you ever had those bike trailers. They hook to the axle. It's a nice joint on it, so you turn and it locks on and straps on, locks onto your bike. And I loved, because it was great to take the kids on trips. We would go and did a bike ride. And as a dad and as a guy, you know, it's kind of hard just to go straight on the road. You got to go, you know, do a little action going back and forth. And I remember my son saying, Dad, don't do that. It's starting to tip over. I said, no, it's not. That thing is so stable. So I did it. Next thing I know, I hear this. I look back, and doggone, if that trailer wasn't upside down. My boys both had helmets on, so they were strapped into in a four-point harness in that bike trailer, so they didn't fall out, but their helmets got scuffed. My son said, Dad, I told you not to do that. I unstrapped him first. He was older, and he jumped out of that as I righted it back up. It jumped it out of that car, and went, you know what he said to me? He says, I'm going to tell Mom on you. He ran home, the three blocks home, all the way home, to tell Mom what a terrible dad I was. I think about just, he knew Mom would never flip over the bike cart. He knew where to go for comforting. He knew where to go for justice. I think about moms are uniquely wired to love their kids, and it reflects who God's character is. Isaiah 49:15, God compared to a nursing mother. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget. And I know as you, as young moms, and you nurse your kid, you're thinking, this is the most amazing gift. And the quietness as you stroke their little soft head and their hair, and you love them. And you have to recall those memories, right? When they hit middle school and they're driving you crazy. And he said, I can't believe that I love this kid that much. But God still loves you that much. He sees you who you are from the inside out. Tender, thoughtful, vulnerable, envisioning what this child is going to become. Isaiah 42:14. Mothers uniquely reflect God in labor. I think in women in labor, God likens himself. He designed females, so he knows the labor and the struggle that comes in giving birth to a child. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and I held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out and gasp in pain. It's something that is requiring the pain of birth, the focus, the all-encompassing attention and engagement of your whole body as this child comes. back in. It's hard to believe you'd see a little kid and said, how in the world did that fit in there? It's not meant to go back in. It comes out and it begins to grow. God likens himself to a mother. And then lastly, God as a mother. Psalms 131, 1 and 2. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters of, or things too wonderful mean. And the psalmist is writing about his as a child looking to his mother. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. You know, when kids and they settle down to be with their mother, is they're satisfied. Their mother cares about them. They see what needs to get packed. I always love going on trips with my wife. It's amazing to me. I'm thinking, what in the world are all these bags of stuff for? As we traveled, and she would put them around her seat in a car, hardly enough room for her legs to sit. And I was so thankful, because as those trips went down, as we went from Oregon or Washington, clear down to Southern California, the kids would get bored, and out would come a snack. Out would come a juice cup. Out would come a book. Out would come a treat. And these kids, you would never have known that we spent 15 hours in the van, because they were content. Their mother had looked out for them, had settled them, had looked ahead for their needs, had given them what they need. I think of all those pictures as we understand, isn't just about moms, but it's about who God is, who he is, and how he cares about us, how he loves us, and how he designed moms to comfort us and to grow us. God designed moms after himself. As I like to think about moms, I was like, okay, there's a bunch of moms in the Bible. Mothers, some women in the Bible, they had to wait a long time to be moms. And like you, I think, oh, who's the mom that waited a long time? Well, you probably can think of several, but we can just start with Sarah, right? Sarah and Abraham, who was 90 years old when she gave birth. 90 years old. And you know, as you get older, moms, you know that it's a young woman's game, right? You're like, oh my goodness, no wonder young women have kids. It takes so much energy to navigate and prepare and do this and do that and multitask, and you hit the pillow at night and you're out like a light. Unless your one ear's open, listening for that sick kid and protecting them, even in your sleep. But it's Sarah. She's 90 years old, and she has this kid. And I kind of laugh, because when Isaac, her son, went to kindergarten, this needless to say, his mom was not the youngest one there, right? Like some of you know that if you've had an older parent, you can tell the difference. I think about Rebecca, who had Jacob and Esau. She had to wait almost 20 years before she became pregnant as a result of her husband's prayer for them to have. And she had twins, not just one, but two kids worth the wait. Then there was Rachel, the favored wife of Jacob, who had to wait almost 14 years before she had her son Joseph of Egypt fame and Benjamin. Then there was Hannah, the mother of the prophet, priest, judge, Samuel. She came to Shiloh, and as they would every year do their offerings, she would cry out to God, say, God, please, would you open my womb? Would you allow me to conceive? Would you allow me to bear a child? Would you allow me that satisfaction? And God heard her prayer. And a year later, she was able, after many years of coming to praying and sacrificing to God, God heard her prayer, and she became a mother of Samuel. And then there's Elizabeth, who's another miracle mom. It doesn't tell us how old she were in the New Testament, but she was the mother of John the Baptist. And it says they were very old, so we just kind of fill in the blank what very old is. And it was a miracle. She became pregnant and gave birth to John the Baptist. Do you think God cares about women becoming moms? Do you think he cares about that responsibility, that gift of being a mom? Do you think God cares about the children they bear? Moms are uniquely qualified and gifted and designed by God to love and nurture kids and raise them up, and the children they bear are no less unique. They have specific assignments that God's given them, that God designed for them to walk in. Do you know whose mom Jochebed was? Jochebed. If you took, and there was a 5-minute countdown, had those famous moms. Jochebed was the mother to Moses. Moses, who led the people of Israel out of slavery. She was in a time where Pharaoh said, you know what? Any male babies that are born, you got to kill them. They said, hey, your moms, all you midwives need to do that, and they wouldn't do it. And so it was dangerous because as babies grow from infant to little babies, they start to make noise. Read with me in Exodus 2 through 4. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Some mothers have to give their children up. They have to give them into the Lord's hands. I can't imagine what a more difficult thing that would be than to give your child up. Something she's like, I am not going to kill this kid, but I can't keep him because somebody will hear it and he'll get killed. I'm going to put him in this basket. God, would you protect him? Would you bring something good out of this life? Let's go on with verse 5. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slaves to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Smart girl, his sister was. Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So fascinating. We think about moms who had to wait to be mothers. And there's some mothers, some women who become foster moms. That's what Pharaoh's daughter was. She was a foster mom. She became a foster mom to Moses. They notice someone who needs help. They notice someone who needs comfort. They notice someone who needs a mom. They have a mother's heart. They may not have kids of their own, but they have a mother's heart. They use their position and their resources to give to this child what it needs. That's what Pharaoh's daughter did. She not only did that out of her resources and position, she risked being contrary to culture. She risked being ridiculed and said, no, I'm going to take care of this baby. Mothers have such influence in our lives. You and I are impacted so deeply by the influence of our moms. Moms influence us, they influence their families, they influence legacies. What you practice with your own mom, guess what? You will practice with your own kids. It is such a crack up to hear your kids, if you you have grown kids, repeat the stuff that you've said. The stuff they rolled their eyes at back when they were kids, now they see the wisdom of it and they're repeating to their kids. Moms have such great influence. Here's six significant ways that moms reflect who God is and influence kids. The first one is just emotional attachment. That when a baby is born, just being nearby, being able to hold that baby, hear the baby cry and do something about it. Make sure they're changed and they're fed. And we all know once you take those basic two major things, that then sometimes they just need to be comforted. But there's an emotional attachment. As moms are aware of their baby's needs, that child, as they grow and they get cared for, they get listened to. You know, just like that kid who's always grabbing you, Mom, 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 Mom. And you're like, just a minute, I hear you, but I'm talking on the phone. When I'm done talking on the phone, I'll listen to what you have to say. And then do it. What it does is it feeds their soul. It says, I am emotionally listened to. I'm cared about. That's the way God does with us, you know. He cares about us. And as they become emotionally fed, guess what? They know how to be sensitive with their heart and with their ears and with their eyes to other people and their needs. You also teach his mom, you influence in their trust and security. You teach that by how you live. Be honest with your kids. Be truthful about how you live. Your kids, that's where they learn honesty. They learn it from you. They watch you. They listen to you. How do you behave? And they also learn security, that when you say you're going to do something, you do it. You don't just make false promises. But they learn security and trust. Those kids become healthy adults. Healthy adults who know how to be trusted by other people. They know how to give security. They know how to be secure in difficult situations. They're not worried. Why? Because their mom taught them that they were going to be secure, that we're going to be safe. Moms teach your kids to be sensitive. Never look down on your child's response and what they have. I love, you know, mom goggles, right? Oh, you know, the picture is like, you know, from a kid's point of view, is like what they're doing is a great thing. Can you imagine if God really called you know, what our gifts were? You know, whatever, that's nothing. No, when we give something to God, God honors it. As we are sensitive and honor our kids, and if they don't like something, say, hey, what's going on? Why are you mad? Why are you angry? Or why are you scared? Or why are you excited? To be able to understand and listen to what they're saying and find out what's behind those emotions and what's being acted out. Being sensitive, because guess what? They will learn not only how to be sensitive to their own feelings, but they were going to be great friends and being sensitive to other people, because they've learned that how to be sensitive and learn that from their mom. Be kind and loving. In your regular interactions with your kids, be kind. It's not just like, I'm going to be kind. It's no, just in everything. You know, there's things that frustrate us all. But in those situations, we still can be kind. We don't ever put somebody down. We don't ever ridicule them. We say, man, wow, that bed, great job trying. You know, here, I could tell that's really big. You know, that mommy gets daddy to help her make the bed because it's so big. Let me help you. And so you don't ridicule what they're doing, but you encourage it. And you say, wow, good job. I am so glad we've been talking about that. And you did that on your own. And I didn't even have to ask you. That is so, to be kind and loving in everything we say. The way moms speak to your child will teach your child about dealing kindly with others. And then be hopeful. Hope. Have a positive attitude. That's how the world says it, right? Positive attitude. It's important. We don't like to be around people who are discouraging things. Oh, that's not going to work. Or, oh no, you know, this terrible thing is going to happen. Say, no, I think this is going to work out. We're going to have to do some problem solving here. We're going to have to talk about it. And as you face problems, you know, where it's appropriate and you feel able to discuss it with your kids. Say, wow, we got this situation where we got invited to two birthday parties at the same time. And I know you really want to go to this one if you had to choose, but is that really the kind thing to do? Let's figure out how we can do both. And in fact, that's a great way to pray and invite your kids to trust God and be hopeful. Say, you know what? I may not have the answer. You may not have the answer, but we know God has the answer. I think when we have a faith in God, it's the ultimate positive attitude. Saying, God, you get to figure this out. You get to help us figure this out. What a great way to teach your child that even though something's overwhelming and seeming discouraging, you can say, you know what? I can be hopeful because there's other situations that seem hopeless and God brought a great result out of it. It's so important as you as a mom, and there's a lot of things coming at you, to have a hopeful, positive attitude with your kids, regardless of circumstances. Those are things that it'll teach your kid how to problem solve and not just run away and say, oh, that doesn't work out. Say, no, we got to keep trying this. Remember last time we worked several times and it worked out? Hard work. We teach our kids by hard work. Moms, you have such a big influence on your kids. You have such an impact. Just even being a great parent is hard work. Everybody goes, amen. And it's hard work. And it really, sometimes it feels very thankless, doesn't it? It's like, you know what? I just worked all day. I did the laundry, or I came home from work and I made dinner, and then I'm still got kids who didn't get their homework done. You know, it's hard work. But really, your kids are going to learn hard work by you just loving them, by being caring about their development as a child, about their education, about their character. Just being consistent in those things, guess what you're teaching your kid? You're teaching them about hard work. You know, mommy is really tired, too. I'm tired like you are, but guess what? I'm still going to go make dinner. Would you come help me make dinner? I know you're tired, but when we get to do this together, there's a satisfaction that comes from a job well done. That, yes, it is hard work, but there's nothing that is more satisfying than seeing the result of hard work. As moms, you reflect that. You're reflecting God because God is intentional, purposeful. He works hard. It impacts children. I just think about, as we look at mothers, God designed moms after himself. We honor moms today, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, moms, for reflecting who God is. As you love your kid, as you do those hard things, you reflect who God is. And I want to say thank you, moms, for teaching us kids how to reflect God, too. As you've walked out those things in reflecting who God made you, who he designed you to be, it's impacted every single one of us children. Thank you. Let me pray as we celebrate moms today. God, I thank you for mothers. Lord, I thank you for the strength that you've given them. Even when they're just like, I can't go any further, God, would you come and help me get out of bed? Would you help me do this one more thing and then help me do this math problem that I don't understand, or read another book, or put another Band-Aid on an owie, or just hug and love and listen. God, would you bless them in their strength, Lord, to walk out who you've designed them to be. Lord, thank you for the gifts of moms, the gift of mothers who reflect who you are. God, I pray for